Let's stand as we kind of finish this up. Exodus 34, verses 6 through 10. Exodus 34, 6 through 10 will be a familiar passage for us. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonders never before seen in any nation in all the worlds. The people who live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment. We pray a blessing on this time. Lord, we ask that you be with us and watch over us in this moment. Lord, as I know our spirits are already lifted after seeing Olivia's commitment to you, Lord, and we just pray that as family that we can walk alongside of her, Lord, and we pray that you bless her in her journey with you. Lord, we are mindful of Keith, who's in the hospital, and Lord, we pray for recovery for him. We're mindful of Casey, and Lord, as she recovers from COVID, we pray for her. We ask that you be with all those healthcare workers today, Lord, and in the days to come, we pray for safety for them. We pray for energy for them. We pray for rest for them. And Lord, we pray for us now that our hearts and our minds are open. Open for your Spirit to do the work your Spirit does in our life and that it can continue to form us and shape us into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So as I've been working through this little mini series of sermons, the constant question that I've been asking myself is this. It's been, where do we go from here? And because it's this season that we find ourselves in that we didn't think we would find ourselves in when the calendar rolled around to 2020. Laurie and I, just the other day as we were in the car, were talking how it's one of those where as we were talking about January and February, it felt like a year ago now. Like, we were talking about, like, what we did in January and February, and it's almost, it happened in January, and at one point I was like, yeah, that was like 8 or 9 months ago, and Laurie's like, no, that was like 5 months ago, honey, and I was like, it's just, that's how we feel right now. It just feels like all of that was forever ago, because never would I have imagined that the future, when the calendar rolled from December 31st to January 1st, would be interrupted the way it has. I mean, 2019 ended and 2020 began, and we kind of just were sailing through it. It was going to be like any other year. I know for most of us, or some of us in here, you may make goals for the year of what you hope for. You may have strategic plans for the year of what you think is going to happen. And like me, I had my sermon, like you, I had my sermon series prepared for the year, and I had, like you, family events planned, and there were vacations scheduled, and then 2020 had another idea. Many of you have probably had to cancel trips or get trips reimbursed, but even worse than that, many of you probably have friends who've gotten sick. You've heard stories of other people getting sick and others who may have lost their battle with this disease. By this point, the middle of July, we find ourselves probably having 1 degree of separation between us and people who have come down with the virus. It's one of those places we never thought we would be. It's not a future we ever imagined. You know, just standing out there and talking with John Samuel a minute ago about his son who's going to take the bar exam and how they never had planned for the bar exam to be virtual, right? And it made me think, there's a lot of others. There's CPAs and there's nurses and they never planned for this kind of thing, that they would have to take these things virtually. And so we find ourselves in an uncertain future. And like the children of Israel, as we walk into the wilderness, we don't know what's going to happen next. Every day is an adventure into the unknown. We don't know what we're going to hear when we turn on the TV tomorrow. That's why most of us may just not turn on the TV tomorrow. As we look at this, And as we find ourselves in this journey, what I've been trying to do, and it's been difficult, is talk about what this journey looks like. And what I've hoped we've realized is that we're not alone in this, that we must be prepared to confront ourselves, that we have to confront ourselves and what identity is at work in our life. And maybe as we think about that identity, we begin to talk about what are the core things that are most important that we need to hold on to. And yet through all of this talking and all this trying to figure out, it's still a difficult journey. It's still an uncertain future. I don't know what it's going to look like in August as I'm a parent trying to figure out what to do with a student and what that's going to look like. It's easy for us to be paralyzed, and I've heard that word a lot in the last 5 days. As Laurie and I took a little getaway trip this last week, kind of to get her away from the hospital and get us just like not seeing any human beings. And so we found a really nice place in Hot Springs not to see anybody. And we went there and we floated on a lake and we just hung out. But in the midst of that, reading and listening to podcasts and talking to her, there's this word that's kept coming up, and it's this word paralyzed. I feel paralyzed. I feel paralyzed by what to do next is what you continue to hear. You hear it on these podcasts, you read it, people feeling this way, and it's what fear and anxiousness can do to us. It kind of paralyzes. I found myself in that same place. I found myself being incredibly anxious and fearful for the day. I found myself wondering what we as a church and what we as my family would do next. Like, what would next Sunday look like? Would we all be able to get together? Would we have to go back to being online? What does that look like? And when I find myself in these moments, I can't help but want to not face it. Honestly, I'd rather just go crawl in bed, pull the covers up, and say, I'll see 2021 when it rolls around. I just don't want to worry about the whole thing. And maybe you've noticed people like that. Some want to hide from it, and some just don't want to acknowledge it. And that's when, as I've been doing this study, I realized that as many words as I can put together, and maybe as many words as you can put together, this is just hard. Like, I have no good. I wish I could tell you I figured out the formula, but I didn't. It's just hard. There's nothing easy in these days. We're going to be confronted with hills and valleys throughout this entire time. There's going to be good days. Days when you and I feel like we can conquer the world. Days when it feels like this virus is about to end. Days when we're optimistic, and that's a really hard word that comes out of my mouth because I'm not the most optimistic person in the world, but days when we feel optimistic. But there's the other side of the journey. It's the side I think a lot of us may find ourselves on more than not. I know it's the majority that I find myself on. It's the days when doubt and fear creep into the mind. When it's getting harder. It's getting harder to have conversations. They feel strenuous. Conversations feel difficult because you know what you're going to talk about and you're just tired of talking about it. You feel motivated, but you don't. Motivation slows down. And these are the days when I've been trying to encourage you to spend time with God and read the Bible. And these are also days when the Bible can be a chore. It could be a difficult thing to read. When believing that God has this, as I've been trying to say, God's got this, is a really fleeting thought when you see what's going on. And I want to affirm that these moments of doubt and these moments of trouble are real. They're a part of all of us. We're going to mess up. And I feel I need to say that as I get into this text. We're going to mess up. You're not expected to be perfect. You're not expected to have all of this stuff figured out. And here's the thing. We're not always going to love perfectly. I mean, let's be honest. Loving our neighbor, loving our enemy, and loving anyone around us is already a difficult task. Now, you throw on top of it a pandemic, and it gets a little bit harder. And it's why I wanted to finish with Exodus 34, because as we finish with this kind of idea of where do we go, I finish it with, I don't know. But I'm going to hopefully have this idea that we're going to have to go forward in it no matter what. And so it's why I want to finish with Exodus 34, because I think it's incredibly important to, as we talk about God has this, to know what kind of God has this in the middle of this that we can walk forward? And so Exodus 34 is this beautiful passage for us to kind of hold on to. Because you see, the people of Israel, as we've already talked about, have encountered so much in the short time in the wilderness. Think about it. They're at Mount Sinai now, but they've already witnessed an empire get put on its knees. They've already seen the Red Sea part. They've seen manna and meat fall from the sky. Now they have the presence of God resting on Mount Sinai. They've come a long way in a short period of time. And yet, through all of this, there's this little passage in Exodus 32. And I know most of us remember it, but just the first couple verses say this: Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf. Fashioning it with a tool, they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." We remember just two chapters earlier, what? The golden calf. Everything I just said that they witnessed, they're still the golden calf. And by the way, the passage we just read, we saw the description that Moses gave the people. Did you catch what he said? "Although this is a stiff-necked people, Lord." This is how he describes us. We are stiff-necked people. And now Moses finds himself in chapter 34 in the shadow of the golden calf, standing before God. They had messed up. They'd seen everything and still messed up. Standing before God and asking for grace and mercy. And I want you to think about those two words. Grace and mercy. Those two words feel needed right now. I don't know about you, but I need grace and mercy. And not only do I feel like in this moment I need grace and mercy, I think there are people in your life who need grace and mercy, who don't need it from somebody else, but probably need to hear it from you. And I want to get back to that in a minute, but right now I want to focus on the response of God, because that's the most important thing. The response of God and how this response can maybe help us take the next step into tomorrow and into the next day and into the next day. Because Moses' contrition before God, we notice, falls in between God revealing God's self. So we have Exodus 34, 6, and 7. And then we have Exodus 10, God's response. And what do we see here? We see a God, as God reveals himself in Exodus 34, 6, and 7, a God who is not capricious, a God who is a God who, depending on the mood, will be one way or the other. And you know those kind of people, they're a little bit moody. Depending on what side of the bed they woke up that day will be how they treat the day and how they may treat you. It's just one of those things. And so what we read here in Exodus 34 is we read a different kind of God. A different kind of God who will respond to the mess-ups in the moment of the wilderness a little bit differently. And to be led by a God like this, to be led by a God who is capricious, would have probably had the people walking on eggshells, worrying about what kind of mood the God woke up in that morning. Every step into the future would be with a little bit of trepidation and fear, wondering if I'd done enough to make him happy for that day, if I'd done enough to make him happy for that day, will everything go okay? And instead, Moses encounters a God in verse 6 who says this: "I am the Lord, the Lord." And notice what God says. In this version, it says, "I am compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." In other versions, it says, "a God who is merciful and gracious." And we get this idea that maybe God isn't quite done with the people yet, even after the golden calf. And then we notice verse 10. We'll get to that in a minute. We notice verse 10. And it's in verse 10 that we, as we read it, we notice that God isn't done with the people, that God is actually getting a future ready for the people. Notice what God says in verse 10. As we read it, he says, I'm going to make another covenant with you, and before all the people, I will perform marvels. Now that word perform marvels is an amazing word, because what it is God going back to creation narrative. God going back to Genesis 1 and saying, I'm going to do something that's never been seen. You've seen Egypt, that was really cool. You've seen the Red Sea, that was really neat. I'm going to go even beyond those things, and I'm going to create something completely new, something much like what we saw in Genesis 1 when God spoke and creation happened. You might be a stiff-necked people is what God is saying. But while you are a stiff-necked people, my gracious and merciful purposes will continue to flow through you. I like how Terence Fretheim says it, and he says it this way. He says, these promises, they enable Israel to perceive that though its own story may be interrupted, and I bet many of us feel that way, our stories have been interrupted a little bit. What we're going to do in life feels interrupted a little bit. God's story continues. God's loving and gracious purposes and his faithfulness to promises made will persist, though Israel's perception may be clouded at time. This is the God who we can move forward with, a future that's going to be filled with grace and mercy. Do you ever notice when Paul writes a letter, how he starts his letters? When we would read the apostles' work, did you notice how Paul would start his letters? He started with grace and peace to you. Grace, peace, and mercy is what he would say to Timothy. But notice how Paul starts it. He starts before he even begins to write, that as I write, grace and peace will flow through me and into you. We live in a future that is filled with grace and mercy, a future that is actually grounded in this. Every day we are in need of grace and mercy. And God, without any conditions, grants us grace and mercy in our day. We may beat ourselves up. God doesn't beat you up. This is a future we don't have to talk about with fear and trepidation. We don't have to be paralyzed by the what ifs and the I don't knows. We don't have to fear tomorrow. We don't have to be paralyzed. And instead, we go with what God says. I'm going to do awesome things. Instead, we can live in awe of the day. One of the most amazing passages to me is Acts 2. In Acts 2, 42, it says this. After everything that's happened, and we in the Church of Christ, we know Acts 2, 38 very well, right? But after Acts 2, 38, we have Acts 2, 42, and it says, and awe came over all of them. And what God is saying to Moses in this moment, as they've just had the golden calf in their shadow, is saying, awe is still going to come over you because of what I'm going to do. Because my grace and my mercy covers all of it. And so we don't have to fear tomorrow. Instead, like Abraham, we can go forward. We can move forward into the day. I don't know what normal is going to look like, but I know that I can follow a God who is giving me grace and mercy into the day, even after my mess-ups of yesterday, that I can move forward into that day. So remember when I said that thing about grace and mercy, get this, you're going to make mistakes, but the mistakes aren't going to define you. They don't define you in the eyes of God. You are defined by who you are, whose you are. We may be stiff-necked, but God says, I got something that's going to loosen it, and it's going to be grace and mercy showered over you each and every day. It's going to loosen it so that you can get up tomorrow and you can walk forward into the day, that you can be the people that I've called you to be. You don't have to worry about your mess ups yesterday. Those are in the past. You get to move forward into today. You don't have to worry about what's going on yesterday. You can move into today. Because why? All of creation is bathed in grace and mercy. And so tomorrow, take a step. It may be a short step, but take a step. Take a step into the future and know that it's filled with grace and mercy. For move forward and take others with you and be the people of grace and mercy. Don't be the people who remind somebody of what they did yesterday. Don't be the people who remind somebody of what they did. I was talking to someone else this morning, and it made me think of this real quick. I was talking to someone else this morning, and we were talking about social media. And I told them, I was like, I decided to get off social media. Like, seriously, don't have a Facebook anymore. So if you want to look for me for Facebook, don't. I had to get off of it. Because what I realized is that in this moment that we're in, I found myself looking at it so much and judging people based on what was written. And you know what I'm talking about. What was written or posted. And then what I would do is when I would see them in person, what they wrote and what they posted kind of came along with them. What I realized was, I wasn't being who God wanted me to be. I wasn't offering grace and peace. I was offering judgment instead. And by the way, that's hard enough already in the days that we have ahead. That's hard enough already on myself and someone else to be judging them as they're trying to move forward. And so where do we go from here? We can move forward into a future with the God who's going to bathe you in grace and mercy. You're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. It's going to be hard, and that's okay, because the God that you follow is the God who does not hold it against you, is the God who says, tomorrow's going to be a new day. Get up and walk forward in my grace and mercy, and in process, offer grace and mercy to somebody else and give them the opportunity to walk into it. All of us need a little bit of grace and mercy. And if we can be better at that, then imagine what the future will look like. If you have a need this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.